Our emotions influence how we feel at any given moment. And one of the ways our emotions get manipulated is through music. This is why every TV show, movie, video game, commercial, they all have music. It's there to influence our emotions. They want us to feel a certain way and take a certain action. So you may not be consciously aware of this, but it's there. And what's also there is a billion-dollar industry called sync licensing. So in this episode, we get to interview Jesse Josephson. He's a professional TV and film music producer. He's got music that's been licensed to over 450 different shows and corporations. We're talking about American Idol, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, The Voice, Jack in the Box, list goes on and on. So he's been able to build a career full-time doing this, works from home, builds up passive residual income from having his music be played on all these different shows, has an incredible story about how he got into it. And in this episode, we talk about his story, how the industry works, the type of earning potential that exists, and what it takes to be successful. So check it out.
You're listening to
I Wish I Knew
podcast with your host, Jonathan A. Graham.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to have here today with us Jesse Josephson of SyncMyMusic.com. Jesse is a TV and film music producer and happens to be someone who I knew back in college. We met sophomore year of college, and Jesse was a music major then, but has had an exciting journey of now professionally making music, but he's not a rock star. And so the whole point of this podcast is to help expose and inspire, right? There's so many different ways to earn a living. We're not taught about all of them in school. I think being able to learn how this capitalist system works and being able to carve out something that works for you is what this is all about. And Jesse's story is amazing. So Jesse, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, man. It's an honor to be with you for your podcast. And it was just so cool how we just recently reconnected after all these years. And it's so great to see the cool things that you're doing and how you've really just, you know, thrived and progressed with your career. And it's so interesting to just kind of come back full circle and sort of reconnect from, you know, our humble beginnings in college to, you know, the journeys we've both taken, very different journeys, but both, I think, equally as successful. And both, we were reconnecting, we kind of realized, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could really be useful for the next generation, for the younger generation that are just getting into college, getting out of college. And, you know, so much of this stuff, which is why I love your concept here, you know, what I wish I knew. You know, if this knowledge that I have now were imparted upon me when I was 20, 21, good Lord, you know, the kind of stuff that I could have accomplished. I'm really happy with where I am. But yeah, it's just a really cool thing you're doing here, man. And I hope people that are listening are not just passively consuming this wisdom and this knowledge, but are actually going to put this into action. So it's a really cool thing you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. So folks who are not familiar, can you just give us a little bit more about your background, what you do currently, and how you even got there?
Absolutely. So I am a professional TV film licensing producer. And what that basically means is that I stay at home from my home studio and I produce and compose music that gets placed in TV shows, movies, commercials, video games, streaming platforms, online social media campaigns, anything that could use music and can get paid for it. So my placements have included The Voice, American Idol, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Jack in the Box, Ford, Nike, Outback Steakhouse, you name it. You guys, as Jonathan said, I am not a rock star and I'm not on the Billboard top 50, but I can almost guarantee most of you guys listening to this podcast have heard my music if you watch any popular TV show out there. So I got my start in 2008, very humble beginnings, not really knowing what I'm doing, making a lot of dumb mistakes and kind of stumbling into this industry. And of course, just like everything, like riding a bike, you make mistakes, you fall over, you skid your knee, you go, that was dumb, let me not do that again. And as the years go on, you start to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And so if there's one thing that I can say that I have become an expert in, one thing and not almost anything else, is just about how to take the music that you're creating from your home studio and getting it to the people that need it for TV shows, movies, and commercials. So it's a beautiful, wonderful business to be a part of. And believe it or not, it's actually one of the best kept secrets of the music industry, because so many producers and artists are struggling right now, you know, trying to even get any sort of income, any sort of touring or merchandise sales or streaming. I mean, streaming is just another nightmare where so many artists are getting completely robbed, making pennies off of, you know, hundreds of thousands of plays. So artists are really struggling right now. Bands are really having a hard time with the internet. It's both a blessing and a curse that, you know, you have the internet. So that means you can get your music out there. But that also means that everybody else and their grandma can get their music out there too. So the marketplace is crowded and there are so many places for people to discover music. So it's tricky out there for artists. And one of my biggest missions in life right now is literally just to put this platform of licensing, music licensing, TV film licensing in front of artists and bands to let them know this is an option. This is an alternative option. It can be a secondary source of income, or it can be, like for me, it's been my primary source of income and focus for the last 12 years of my life.
Right, right. Yeah, this is it. So like growing up, I knew who Whitney Houston was and Michael Jackson and Tupac, obviously. I thought that was the only way to make money in the music industry. But yeah, like this is, and honest to God, when I listened to, you know, a TV show, I never thought about every single piece of every commercial, every movie, every TV show all has music. I think you guys call it scoring in the industry, but that's what's needed to actually make, you know, bring emotion out and bring these things to life.
That's absolutely true. And I actually am just like you, because I went my entire life not thinking about or even being aware that there's an entire industry for people like me. I am nobody. I have no big fan base. I have no big social media following, but I was able to figure out that there is an entire industry that needs a lot of music for their TV shows. So, you know, going to college with you, I spent 4 years spending tens of thousands of dollars. And I did get a music degree. I actually got a major in recording arts and a minor in music business. And between all that education, never once did somebody, a professor, a colleague, a fellow student, a musician, anybody, nobody once said, "Hey, Jesse, by the way, sync licensing is a thing. It exists. You might want to look at it." Never once.
That is
so it's just one of these, that's why I say it's one of the best kept secrets, because it's not that I don't think anybody was withholding it from me. I just think
people they didn't know either, probably.
It's such a hidden thing that people, when they're watching their favorite reality show, the music is just kind of in the background. Nobody's really, because you're obviously focusing on the character and what's going to happen, who's going to get eliminated out of the scene, right? But you got to realize there's an entire multi-billion dollar industry behind those scenes. All that music for ads, for TV shows, for trailers, for movies, there's a lot of money and people are willing to pay some good money for that kind of music.
Interesting. So I just got through watching Netflix, Tiger King and Ozark, right? So on these shows, like somebody's actually creating those. Can you take me like through the process? I imagine that would be an example of the type of track that would be used, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a few ways to get your music into something like a Netflix TV show or even just a cable TV show, a network, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, or a video game. So I essentially break it down into two strategies that you can employ. Number one is the path that I've taken, which is you partner with a company called a music library. They can also be called a music publisher. Essentially, what their job is they are gathering thousands upon thousands of tracks and keeping it in an online. It used to be actually sent out through external hard drives, but these days there are all these online platforms. You can basically just house, you know, hundreds of thousands of songs in an online catalog that can be categorized easily. So you can categorize and tag things by the mood. So let's say this track is very optimistic and hopeful. So you can put that tag on that, or this one is dark and tense, or you could tag things according to genre. This is EDM. This is pop. This is 70s funk, right? So you can also categorize the tempo of a song, you know, how fast or slow it is by the BPM, beats per minute. So there's all these identifying tags that can be used for somebody that's like putting together a ad campaign, right? Or let's say for your example, somebody's putting together a movie or a series for Netflix. And they're like, you know, we have this scene where two characters are about to get into a fight. So we need something very dark, very tense, almost feels like something's about to explode, right? And it'd be kind of an orchestral, a lot of strings, a lot of big drums, right? Almost like a big cinematic feel. So if you're a music library, you've already gathered lots of options with those tags associated with it, right? Dark, tense, orchestral, strings, right? All these things that maybe could be useful for somebody looking for that. So a music library's job or a publisher is they go to these clients that are producing all this different kind of content and saying, hey, do you need music for the TV show you're about to produce or the ad campaign you're about to release or the trailer you're going to release? We've got this much music. This is our specialty. This is the kind of music that we can get you top notch, ready to go. And you don't have to even come to us and ask us, can we use that song? Can we use this song? No, they can give them a blanket agreement, which basically says, as long as you pay us a quarterly or an annual fee, use anything you want in our catalog. Okay. So that's primarily what is beneficial about partnering with a library, because I am just one composer. So I do have a large catalog of tracks that I've composed in my career, but I don't have 100,000 different tracks that I can offer to somebody to give them all the different kind of options that they might need, right? So partnering with a library essentially allows me, it frees me up to become just a composer and a producer. I can actually literally just focus on making music. I'll let them do the shopping for me. They can pitch my tracks to the right opportunities. So that's the first strategy. And that's the one that I personally have followed for the last 12 years. It's definitely been profitable and it's worked for me to become my full-time income. I've never had to go get a day job or even other side gigs since then. It's been very, very great. The other side is you can actually pitch through a sync agent. Now, this would be what I would say if you're a band, an artist, you want to actually create, let's say, a public following, right? You want social media following, you want to tour, you want to put out viral videos, and you really do want to become in the spotlight, right? As opposed to what I'm doing. I'm happy with my credits and my checks. That's all I want. I don't want the fame. I don't want my name on anything. I just want the income and I want the placements. But if you're actually more pursuing a public career, public facing career, mm-hmm. going with a sync agent is probably a better fit for you, because they're going to be able to do all the pitching for you, just like a library was, but they will not require you to create a different kind of music for them. They're just going to tell you, listen, we love what you're doing and we want to just represent your catalog for TV film placements. So you don't have to change one thing about what you're doing. You just keep putting out great music, send it to the sync agent that you think is right for you, that loves you, that's in love with your music, and let them do that pitching for you. And I should have maybe also mentioned in the, you know, the first strategy that I followed, you can't just do whatever you feel like. You do have to basically customize your music for their needs. So let's say, like for that example, if there was a movie on Netflix and like, we have the scene that, you know, there's going to be a big confrontation. Well, if you're not feeling dark and tense that day, you better figure out how to get in that mood and create that music for that particular opportunity, because we are a service industry. We are here to serve the needs of the show, right? Everybody on, all the actors, the directors, the key grips, the lighting, and the music people, we're all in service of the story of this production, or maybe just the ad, a 30-second ad, but we're all in service of this particular product. So that's one thing where some producers get turned off to that because they just want to make their own music, right? Whatever they're really feeling in the moment. For me, I find it a very invigorating challenge. I love when somebody says, first of all, we've got some money for you potentially if you can do this for us, and maybe millions of people are going to hear your music and get that placement. Can you create something like this and follow these guidelines? I'm double thumbs up. I'm ready to go on that because it's a really great challenge for me. But it's not for all artists, not for all bands. And if that is a turnoff for you, then probably a sync agent would be your better fit.
Got it. So this is super fascinating. On the actual side of one, I have two questions here. One, is somebody able to do this like working part-time if they had a job, they had a passion for music, but they, you know, weren't employed in the music industry directly? Could someone get started doing this stuff on the side?
Absolutely. And that's how I started. I had a full-time day job working at a startup company. And if anybody's been listening, a lot of you guys probably have worked for startup companies, and you know that they'll tell you on paper, we expect 40 hours a week, but you're really there for 80. You know, mm-hmm. they're just going to expect that you're just mm-hmm. cranking out and you have five job titles and you're doing all this kind of crazy stuff. So I definitely was balancing a very demanding day job. But of course, my, I guess my bribe or my little treat, my carrot at the end of the day was rushing home through LA rush hour traffic and getting home and producing music. So in the beginning, yeah, I was maybe cranking out one track a week, maybe two tracks a week. And it was a very, very slow process. So absolutely, I don't think this is something that if you have a gig or a job right now that is paying your bills and is maybe even also paying, you know, your family's bills and keeping people stable in your life around you, it's not a wise thing to just like give all that up and 100% go into sync licensing, because you don't have to do that. You can literally just do this nights, weekends, whenever you have some free time. Or what I personally recommend and what I've been doing lately is I go to bed early and I wake up early. So if you can even wake up an hour or two before you go to your job, give the first couple of hours to yourself. I mean, that's usually, at least I speak for myself, I am way more productive and energized and focused the first couple hours of the day. So give that creative energy to yourself and to what you really want to do, rather than the first thing you do is go to your job, give your boss, give your company that really great creative juice. Obviously, give them what you need to get your job done. But I think for a lot of people that have day jobs, a lot of people don't think about that because, you know, let's be honest, by the time 5 p.m. rolls around, most of our creative juices are gone. You know, you make so many decisions throughout the day and you just don't have anything left. You just literally want to sit on the couch and, you know, watch a TV show to just like let you zone out a bit. So sometimes you have to kind of pre-plan your day and get the first couple of hours for yourself.
Todd, totally believe in that. And yeah, I think, yeah, folks listening, I want to emphasize what he's saying. Number one, give time and energy for yourself. You have to block out time for your passions. This is your life. No one else is going to do it for you. You've got to fight for the life that you want. And that's what I really respect about you, Jesse, is that you're willing to put in that effort. A lot of people say they want stuff, but a lot of them won't actually back it up. And you're in a perfect example of making that sacrifice. And now you're in, over time, you're able to actually live the basically this dream life that you have now.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you say, I appreciate those kind words, man. But I, you know, the one thing that I get a lot of times, because now I'm a little bit more public and I'm talking to people about what I do, you know, in sync licensing. And I get this all the time now. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, he got lucky. I mean, yeah, he got this, he got that. And so it's always kind of, it's funny, sad, and insulting all at the same time, because it's like, if you only knew, you know, I have my music, I think, in 450 TV shows at this point. And I'm just thinking, like, if most people don't know that. And a lot of times I will point them in my direction of, like, I have a video showing all the, you know, TV shows that have my music placed in. And I'll just say, do you really believe that I got lucky 450 times? Like, right. Do you think that? Because good Lord, you should be betting on me. I mean, if I go buy a lotto ticket, you should be, you know, investing whatever I tell you to invest in, right? I would be the luckiest person on earth. And it's like, that's one explanation for how this has happened. The other explanation is maybe there's a system I've employed, right? And I've had a strategy that I've been fine tuning over 12 years and trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And as you go through anything, riding a bike, you'll start to figure out how to never fall over again on the bike. And you don't point to somebody riding a bike, go, well, they're just lucky. They're not falling down every other block. Like, it's one explanation, but the other explanation to me seems a little bit more logical, which is that, well, maybe they're doing something that works, right? Maybe there's a strategy or a system they're employing that consistently puts them in the lucky, quote unquote, situations over and over again. Because there's plenty of times I will pitch for an opportunity and not get it. And, you know, it sucks, but that's just part of life. You shoot for, you know, I think even Jonathan, you were one of the people that put that in my head early on and said, like, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
And I don't know who were the original, you know, person who quoted that, but I was just like, you know, it's such a powerful, big, big, big concept for people to realize that, yeah, you can just sit there and feel sorry for yourself and go like, well, yeah, if only I could do this, if only I were lucky like that person. But if you just zoom out a little bit more, you'll realize, like, you know, there's definitely going to be some opportunities where I get lucky and get, but not 450 of them, guys. There's just no way that I am that lucky. I wish, that'd be wonderful. Right. But no, there's definitely a system and a thought process and a strategy and consistency that's underneath all of this.
Absolutely. And I want to point out, I know your personal story. You're not, you had no music industry connections. You're from a very small blue collar town, Northern California. This is nothing came from industry connection or a family, a lucky person making that intro. This is hard work and staying committed and doing the work. And touching on systems, I just read a book by James Clear. It's called Atomic Habits, basically the power of having small habits and just getting started. And he talks, one of the things that I picked out from there was people don't rise to the level of their goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And so the importance is don't have a goal. You should define the system, and the goal will naturally become a byproduct of actually taking consistent, repeated action. So I absolutely agree with that. That's something I wish I learned more in school, of, you know, touching on setting up your day, having routines, having a right mindset, all those things, and ultimately success will follow. Those outcomes will come.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, another point that you raised for me is that there's, I definitely get a lot of these questions from producers and composers like, you know, Jesse, I want to get a placement on this particular TV show or this particular ad or this or that. And I do think that that's an unwise approach, especially on this side of the business, is that if you set your goals so small and so specific, chances are you probably won't get that particular goal.
Mm-hmm.
But as opposed to maybe zooming out and casting a wider net to say, I would like to make a full-time income with my music. How can I do that? Or how can I just serve the TV film licensing industry? Like, maybe I think that I want to get my tracks into ads or or trailers, but when I partner with a library, maybe I find out that my music is actually better for reality TV shows or competition shows. So rather than having more of a specific pinpointed goal, it's better to actually just cast a wider net, and exactly what you said. And if you have that system in place, you're going to catch all of those. You're going to catch the ads. You're going to catch the trailers. You're going to catch the reality shows. You're going to catch all different stuff. And you're also going to catch things that you didn't think you could catch, or you didn't even, like, virtual reality content is now going to be exploding, right? And the video game industry is now bigger than the film industry.
Right.
So there are going to be new opportunities that if you're so specifically pinpointed, you're going to miss the wider view of other opportunities.
Excellent point. And speaking of this, how lucrative is this? How are there things that get royalties? Are there recurring income? passively? How does this work?
Pretty much the biggest reason why I got into this side of the business, what attracted me, was the passive income. So absolutely. I will say, just to give a couple of numbers up front so people can understand what's realistic or that you, what you can expect. If you're going to hustle, I'd say give about an 80%, 80 to 100% of your focus on this. I think getting anywhere from like 30 to 70 grand a year on royalties is very, very possible. Now that's going to be passive income that can grow throughout the year. So that number can actually increase as you stick with it long enough. Because one thing that people don't think about in this side of the business is that, let's say I compose one, so we're just going to go to one song, make it very simple. I send one song to a library and they're going to pitch it for me, right? Now that one song can get placed in 300 different TV shows. In fact, I had one producer that I've coached got one song into 357 different TV shows. One song.
Wow.
And each one of those earns royalties, right? Now, not every placement earns the upfront fees. Some of the more prominent ones, let's say if you get a song in a like I've done the most recent one I did was an Outback Steakhouse commercial where I composed like an orchestral piece. That one, they did pay me an upfront fee. And every time that commercial airs, I'm earning the back end royalties. Sometimes you're double dipping on it. You're getting a one-time fee and recurring royalties. So that's the beauty of it. Okay, so that one track can get placed that many times. Now, that's not the end. Let's say that just happened in this one quarter, which is basically what happened to my student that I was mentoring. Well, in 6 months, that same track, it's not like that track got retired and it's over. It's still sitting in the catalog of the library. So let's say next quarter, another 300 TV shows or 400 TV shows also want to use that same track. And this is actually what really happens, because we got to realize that human beings are by our nature lazy. We want to do as little effort to get as much result as we possibly can. And what happens with the people who are selecting music, let's say we call them a music editor, they're actually taking the music from a catalog, putting it in a show. If they find one track that they're like, you know what, this works perfectly for this kind of content. You know, it's got the right feel, the right tempo. It doesn't distract from the foreground. Well, do you think they want to go back and look through a catalog every time they need? No, your track is going to be on the short list. They're going to put it into sort of a favorites playlist. And anytime they need a song for a particular kind of content, and music editors pretty much are working on the same kind of content day after day. Well, guess what's whose track is on the shortlist?
Yeah.
Boop, 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 just going in there over and over and over and over again. So you can literally be stacking multiple placements. And this is one song we're talking about. Okay. So usually you're going to work with a library where you put out 10 songs, 12 tracks at a time. It's a full album essentially. So you have 10 possibilities or 12 possibilities of that happening, each track exponentially growing its own branches and earning more
income.
So that's on just hustling your butt off and really trying to work as hard as you can. Now, if you want to get into the hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions range, that's where a little bit of being in the right place at the right time will obviously make a difference. So I always use the example of Seinfeld. Everybody knows the theme song,
right,
with the slap bass and the click sounds and all the cool stuff. So the composer who composed that theme song, usually you guys are obviously wouldn't know this, but a theme song will pay you pretty much the highest rate because it's being branded with a TV show. As opposed to, let's say, a background scene where somebody's walking down the street.
Right.
It's important. It's setting a mood, but it's not as important as the actual boom, 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 you know, that Seinfeld thing that we all associate. Yep. It's so iconic now. That producer composer is a multi-millionaire. Because Seinfeld never went off the air. So that's one crazy thing that people need to realize, the other part of this business that's so scalable and so lucrative is syndication. So you get it. Like one example that I've had, a very small.
What does that term mean? Syndication.
Syndication essentially means that a TV show gets bought out by either another network and continues the air, or gets bought out by other countries and networks in other countries and continues the air. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, Seinfeld originally aired in the 80s and 90s, but Seinfeld is still on, right? It's on TBS. It's on all these other networks. It's on streaming platforms now. It's on the internet. Seinfeld has never gone off the air. And so it's not that you only get paid on the original airing of that TV show. Every time those episodes air, that producer, cha-ching, 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 he's getting those royalties every single time. So my small version of that is my Keeping Up with the Kardashians placements. I have my tracks in 7 of those shows up to this date. And I think I've had a couple more recently. I have to double check. But those 7 shows originally aired, I think, in 2015, 14, something like that. And those that reality show has not only aired multiple times in the US, but that reality show has been picked up by 7 or 8 different foreign countries. So I think Germany, I want to say it was Japan, Sweden, a couple of others. And every time that show airs in those territories, I'm getting royalties from those performance royalty organizations over there. So that's the syndication is the golden word that you really want to shoot for in this business. So that's where passive income is coming from. And I'm getting constantly every single royalty check that I get, I'm almost surprised by, I totally forgot about that song that I composed in 2010. And it's earning me new royalties because now it's relevant for something that just came out. So that's what's beautiful about this. Like you do the work today and you'll reap the benefits for, you know, years and years to come.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And one thing going back to you talking about working your butt off, I want to emphasize there's a quote, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And so you do have the ability to kind of create your own luck by as being a person that has a great reputation, timely, professional, providing good quality. It just naturally compounds. I think that that's something that it's easy to when you're younger, to not really understand that, the compounding effect of a reputation, but developing a hard work ethic and being able to have a good reputation is something that will bring you more opportunities and make you luckier.
Absolutely. Yeah. You make your own luck essentially in so many ways. And I would tell everybody that feels that, something ahead of you is just out of reach because you think that somebody else, has some sort of a natural ability or they're gifted with something that you don't have. I really have to just dispel that. Yes, each one of us is going to have our own individual talents desires that are basically going to steer us in our own individual directions. But it really comes down to the time and the effort you put into this kind of thing. And I definitely want to make sure that I'm transparent about this. Mm-hmm. This is not an overnight success story that I'm talking about here, especially with sync licensing. This takes years, okay? So I want to make sure that people don't think that if they get into the side of the business, they think next month they're cranking out six figures. Not going to happen. Now, I know that there are some producers I've coached and mentored that have landed some pretty lucrative things very, very quickly in their careers. But sometimes that can be actually a negative for them because then they're expecting that to happen on a weekly or a monthly basis. So I've always tried to put people in a more of a realistic setting of you're probably not going to make much in the first couple of years. You might make a little bit here and there, but this is a long-term play and this is about building a career. And if you know, and obviously Jonathan, you know about this, that it's usually he or she who can forego the here and now, benefits and the rewards and really shoot for something that might take a couple of years to get to. It's like being Neo in the Matrix. It's going to seem a little slow in the beginning and you're going to feel like everybody else is running faster than you because everybody's, I always say that, musicians and bands that like, they're kind of just spinning in circles and they're, I'm going to chase this remix competition. I'm going to put out this, Spotify ad. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on this playlist. I'm going to put out a viral music video. It seems like everybody's moving really fast around you because they're doing stuff. But what they're really doing is they're moving, 10 feet in this direction, hitting a wall because they didn't get immediate results. And they're like, oh, that didn't work. Let me go in this direction.
Right.
They're literally just kind of in a madhouse spinning in circle. They're not going anywhere. So yes, you're going to be digging in, trenching in a bit. It's going to feel like you're moving a little slower than other people. But what you're going to see in due time is that you were literally kind of the Neo in the Matrix, seeing the world for what it really is. And it's like he or she who can, just dive in and consistently go for a long-term goal, you're going to be reaping the benefits of that effort that you put into it for years and years and years into the future.
Right.
Yes, it's going to hurt forever. Right now. Yeah, and it's going to hurt right now and it's going to feel frustrating. You're going to feel defeated. And, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy to do this, but we're talking about where do you want to be in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, right? This is what it's really all about for me is getting out of the rat race, getting out of the keeping up with the Joneses. Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And, be honest with yourself. What's going to make you happy? What's really going to be the kind of lifestyle you want to lead? And if you know what it is, you know what it's going to take, then pay that price. Whatever that price is, pay it. If it means, putting your head down and just working your butt off for 2 or 3 years, why wouldn't you do it? This is the time to do it. And especially now, we'll see what happens. I know you're going to release this in the future, but right now with the coronavirus, quarantining, a lot of people have a lot of free time and you should be taking advantage of the fact that you should go for some of those goals, get those skills, whatever you feel you need. That's going to put you on that path towards that long-term success.
Dude, that is excellent advice. Absolutely agree with that. This is super interesting to me. I know there's got to be people that are going to be interested in this. What type of background or skill does someone need to have? Do you need to have a degree in music composition? Do you need to have a previous background or what would it take to actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you don't have to have any degree. I did get a college degree, but that has helped me zero times. I've never been asked for my degree. Nobody cares that I went to college. I appreciate the experience. Love meeting you. Love meeting a lot of great people in college. But professionally, as a musician, it is not very too useful. I think the college world is really more for if you want to become a professor yourself or get into education. you will need to play that game, and you need to get those pieces of paper, and you need to kind of go through the ranks. For TV, film, sync, licensing, it's really about, it's a binary yes or no. Are your tracks good? Are they licensable? Meaning, are they going to be useful for a TV show, movie, or commercial? Are they compelling? Do they really, above all else, do they convey a clear emotional message, right? Like when I click play on your track, do you put me in a certain emotional state? Do I feel that tension? Do I feel that joy? Do I feel that heartache? Do I feel what you were trying to convey to me? That's really, for me, what music is. It's a little artistic capsule that's transmitting pure emotion to people. And that's all they're doing in the TV film licensing world, is they want to play and manipulate the emotions of their viewers. They want their emotion, their viewers to feel sad at this point. They want them to feel optimistic. They want them to buy a product. So they're gonna make them feel a certain way, right? So it's all manipulation, it's all advertising. So your music really needs to do that. So you can absolutely learn this stuff 100% on your own. Go to YouTube. YouTube is the new university. It's absolutely free as long as you got an internet connection. If you want to learn, I would say the basic fundamental skill you will have to have is you got to learn how to produce music on your computer from home. Could be a laptop, could be a desktop. I personally use a program called Logic Pro, and I use Logic Pro 10. It's through Apple. So you have to have an Apple program computer to be able to use it. But you can use Ableton. Ableton is really popular with EDM DJs. You could do Pro Tools. You can even do Fruity Loops. Fruity Loops is really popular actually with all genres, particularly with hip hop. So just find and do your research on which they're called DAWs, digital audio workstations. Just do your research and try to find which one of these programs you resonate with, feels right to you, seems the most intuitive, and just dive in, start playing with buttons, click on things, A/B compare what happens when I put this effect on this track, what happens when I duplicate this track. There's really no substitute for you getting in there and being like a mad scientist and clicking buttons and just seeing what worked. That's how I learned. Yes, I went to school for it, but really the education really happens. Just like if you notice with kids, they teach themselves so much, right? They're starting to play with things, and then they start to realize and they put patterns together. Same thing with us. This is really how we're going to learn. But if you get stuck, YouTube is your university. Go to YouTube. Somebody has talked about whatever issue you're going through, and they'll help you get through it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. YouTube University, I like that. It's crazy how much information is out there, and you can go to YouTube and go watch dumb cat videos and waste an hour, or you can actually learn something, right? This is the power of using time and using it to help you move towards your goals. And I mean, I respect you so much for you being the American dream, like taking ownership of your life, knowing what you want, going after it, putting in the work, man. You deserve your success. Absolutely.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
So obviously this podcast is called I Wish I Knew. I'm curious if we could hop in the time machine and go back your early career, or even coming out of high school, what do you wish you know? What would you have done differently?
You know, we touched on it a little bit before. I really just wish somebody had told me sync licensing existed, you know, and that's why I really have made a very conscious effort in my life right now, to be as vocal as I possibly can, especially to the younger generation, and just shout it out. This exists. This is a thing. You can do this. You don't have to be connected. You don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to be, you know, charting to be able to be a player in this business. So I just wish somebody would have exposed me to this avenue of serving the world with my music. And dovetailing with it, I think I wish I would have had somebody with a philosophy, especially somebody with a musical background. I think it's really important for musicians to get this and hear it from another musician. It's a really important thing, because we as artists, producers, musicians, we're very narcissistic. I mean, we're always thinking about us. Like, we want a deal, we want a tour, we want fans, we want a viral video. It's all about how can we get what we want out of all this, right? And when you go into sync licensing, it's like your whole world gets flipped upside down, because believe it or not, you're not that important. It's really about, like I said, the project or the TV show or the mood that they need or whatever it happens to be. So I think sometimes, and that's why I want to be a voice for other producers and musicians, to let them know, you know, challenge yourself to think about, rather than what can you get out of a situation, how can you repurpose your music or just start to purpose your music for somebody else's needs, to service somebody else, to make their lives better. And I'll tell you this, like, the better you get at that, the richer you will become. It's a 1-to-1 ratio. I think people are always like, how do you get rich? How do you make, you know, how do you become successful? And it's like, it's nothing more complicated than being of service and useful to people. That's really it. And you have different skill sets, and you have a different, maybe, you know, everybody has their own type of maybe music that they want to produce. And there's different types of content that you can serve that with. But if you're not even asking that question or thinking about it, even in how you approach people, right? So a lot of producers will make this mistake where they send let's say, an email to 100 different music libraries and they're spamming, right? It's just throwing spaghetti up against the wall. Something's got to stick, right? And so they throw out this generic, spammy, check me out, look how cool I am, look at my accolades, look at this, look at that. And I get in too. And I'm not even a music library, so I don't know why people are sending me that. But they do this because they're not thinking about how they're making somebody else's life better, right? They're just thinking narcissistically, I want a deal. I don't even want to compose 100 different emails. I'm literally going to just copy and paste in the CC or the BCC. And I want everybody to just hopefully get back to me, right? This is the recipe for success. You're obviously probably going to land in the spam folder. Or if you don't, I do this all the time. I block. I don't want to hear from anybody like that. I'm not interested in that. The mindset is not ready to do anything very serious. So rather than that approach, just in how you compose your email or phone call to somebody to say, I've done my research. I know who you are. I know your company. I've looked at your catalog. And this is how I can serve you, actually. I've noticed that you might have a little, you have some hip hop rock music, but you don't have a lot of it. Maybe my 12 songs that are available and I've already done them, right? I'm not asking you to like hold my hand as I get done, but they're completed. They're ready to go. You can literally today put them in your catalog. I think this is going to be useful for you and or your clients that you're pitching to. Let me know. You can just feel the world of difference that that kind of approach has. First of all, you're just respecting them. It's a human being, all right? These are companies, but there are people that run them, right? And they have bills to pay and families and they're humans. So let's treat people with respect and give them their own individual pitch and talk about how you feel you could personally serve them and not send that same email out to 50 people and have four or five say yes. And then you have to basically make enemies on day one. Also very disrespectful. You don't want to do a bait and switch on people. So give people time. If you really want to partner with them, give them a week or two to get back to you. If they don't, then you can move on. So I think a really big thing there is just about having a service mindset, how you can make somebody's life better. And the more you do that, the more you'll find yourself in those lucky positions over right. and over and over again. It's just kind of weird. It's a magical thing. Like when people love hearing from you, it's almost like they'll want to hire you more often. They'll want you to be pulled in on these really big lucrative jobs.
Yeah. That theme that I'm extracting from there, I absolutely agree with everything that you're saying in that. The general theme, and this is beyond just trying to get your music synced. If you're in any profession, right, it's about adding value and having, I think, empathy is something I learned about as well. So I think too many folks have grown up with, you know, this convenience culture that I call it. We have everything on demand, Uber Eats and Netflix and all your music and Spotify, et cetera. It's very easy to become self-centered. And it can also lead to a sense of entitlement. Right, we see people, I went to school and I have a master's, I deserve a job, right? I deserve to have, you know, this starting salary. And none of that matters. If you even think about why someone pays anyone, it's because of the value that you're providing to that other person. And this is even in relationships, right? How are you courteous with other people's time? Or if you have a boss at a job, how can you make your boss's job easier? Thinking about being prepared for your reports or sending updates, communicating clearly, all that general theme of being a person that adds value, right? Even having a sense of humor, everything that you can do to make someone's life better or easier. That's really what all these products that everyone loves, by the way, all because they remove friction from the process, right? Tinder removed a lot of the decision-making process. And so it makes it simpler. And that's the value. And, we went to college. I went to college. I'm not telling people not to go to college, but don't think college is some magic bullet or is going to solve it or getting a fancy degree is going to do that. At the end of the day, when you launch Uber, you don't care if the guy who created that went to college or not. You just care about you getting your ride in 5 minutes, right? You go to that restaurant, you don't care if the person is a chef. You care about your meal being good, if they went to Cordon Bleu or not, right? And so it all comes back to what product are you taking to the market? Know who your audience is and tailoring that. And that's across anything.
Absolutely. I do actually have a question for you too, because one thing that's definitely happening, I'm noticing right now, especially with social media taking over our lives, is there are a lot of gurus coming up, popping up, and a lot of people telling people how to start a business, become an entrepreneur. And I don't want to name any names, but there's a lot of them. And I will say a lot of them have some great things to say. I'll give you my personal take on, you know, should you be really following gurus or people that are telling people how to start a business, how to do that? And I've one thing that I've noticed, essentially, since I've started my, you know, online company, and I've been listening and paying attention to a lot of people talking about how to create a business, how to do online marketing, how to do all these kind of things, right? How to just run your social media accounts. One thing that I noticed is that some people get hooked on gurus as a form of procrastination, right?
Yep.
So they're listening to these people every single day And so they feel like an entrepreneur because they're listening to really smart people talk about really smart topics and advanced concepts that the average person just, it goes over their head or they're not interested in it at all. They just don't comprehend it. But I do notice that there's a lot of people that are not taking action and not doing things because they're hooked on the education of, well, one day I'm going to start my business. One day I'm going to try this. One day I'm going to do that. And so one piece of advice, I also wish that, you know, this wasn't really happening, I think, when we were graduating college. Obviously, social media had just started and it was very, very sparse. But I think one thing that I've definitely started to get better at myself is listen to people, definitely. Go listen to, you know, if somebody's saying something and it's resonating with you, go listen to their podcast, watch their videos, check out what they're doing. But also listen to yourself, more importantly, right? Because a lot of gurus will tell you, you should never do X or always do Y. And then people are like, okay, well, my guru told me not to do that, so I'm not going to do it. But they're not you. They're not in your situation. That's not right for maybe whatever business you're going to create. And so I think people also need to be very, you know, taking all advice you get from people with a big grain of salt and realizing that it might be really useful for one particular person in one particular situation. But if I listen to the, you know, never do X advice that I was listening to from many different gurus, I don't think I would have succeeded. I think I would have been following in somebody else's footsteps that wasn't mine. It wasn't my story. It wasn't my personality. It wasn't my thing. So I think just also just kind of once in a while being in tune with your gut, whatever you want to call it, your intuition, and not always relying on somebody else to tell you what you should always do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. So number one, I've been one of those persons who have found myself reading, and I think it's great to read books. I think books, you know, different gurus or whatever you call these people, experts, there's a lot of value in that. But it is different from from action. It is not a substitute for taking action. I would say that, you know, depending upon who you're actually listening to, but there's a credible author, someone who's has experience in that field or knows what they're talking about, right? There's probably a good chance that person has more knowledge than you and is correct in that. And I think, you know, what you can learn, what someone took 20 years to learn, you could learn in 2 weeks, right? By reading a book. So compressing that. So I'm a huge fan of books, always learning in those things. But it's absolutely important that you take action. And one of the things that I've learned to do is no matter how small the action is, do something every day. Every day, even if it's just 10 minutes, the power of momentum is real. Inertia is real. Like the laws of physics of a body in motion wants to stay in motion and a body in rest wants to stay in rest. That's so true. When you haven't been working out, you don't feel like working out. But once you start working out, you want to continue doing it. And so that's what I say, that mental, that muscle memory is really important. So yeah, I've seen that in doing that. But yes, the second part of listening to your gut, it's something that I have not been when I was earlier. I did not believe in. I think that was more of a sense of insecurity, not really knowing what to trust and having a lot of maybe different distractions. You don't really know for yourself who you are yet. I think that the more, some things just come with living experience. I now believe that self-awareness is a super skill. And that's because we have to know ourselves, and that is the true North Star, right? There's a lot of distraction. Other companies that I started, right? Think other avenues that I pursued that weren't really those things. And that's why I'm starting this is like now, no, this is really something that I'm passionate about. I do a lot of mentoring. I have my own story of you know, coming from humble beginnings, and there's a lot of stuff that I wish I knew and I want to share with others. This has significance and purpose for me, and I didn't need someone else to tell me that. But it took me going through those other paths to actually come to this certainty that I am doing something that this is what I should be doing.
And that's great, because you totally made the point there that taking action, even if that one business idea or that one thing you're doing doesn't work out, it's not a failure.
Yes.
Because in Jonathan, your path, you had to go through these different adventures essentially to go, that adventure, yeah, kind of okay. But I guarantee you this, every single time you tried one of these different ideas, you picked up a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
You learned a lot about yourself, and you also just picked up skills.
Yep.
I guarantee you on this podcast and your new endeavors, you're taking all of that with you, and it's all coming
yes.
with you moving forward. So that's why you can't lose, guys. You literally yep. can't lose just like Jonathan said, doing something every single day, start a business, try this, try that, rather than getting hooked on, okay, well, I got to read that next book. I got to take that next course. I got to do this. Rather than doing those kind of things, just take the action.
Take action.
Learn from your mistakes, figure it out, and fail, quote unquote fail, right? That's fine. There's no shame in that. I think we have such a stigma in our culture,
yes, yes,
that if your business idea doesn't work out, it's like, oh, you know, hang your head in shame. Like, no, because so few people are taking action, guys. One of your biggest strengths, believe it or not, is the fact that most people, like maybe we could put a percentage on, I'd say 98 maybe percent of people are never going to consistently stick with anything more than a couple of weeks. I think maybe 6 months at the max. 98% of people will just give up. They'll never stick with it. Consistency and just showing up is literally most of the battle for most of your endeavors, guys. So just remember that when you're feeling like, you know, you're 4 months into your new project or your new gig and it's like, hey, we're not making money yet. I don't know. If you're seeing some sort of signs of progress and you're getting some positive feedback from your customers or from the marketplace or from social media or whatever, just remember that just putting a little bit extra time in, a little bit extra effort and just consistently showing up.
Yes.
Dominate anything you want to dominate, because most people, like I said in the beginning of this, are lazy. They just want that. I want to buy that lotto ticket and get paid tomorrow. I'm not putting in 6 months of effort to try to get the life that I want. So just realize that, like, if you can zero in on that, that's your superpower. You are Neo in the Matrix right now. You can see through reality. You can see through the distractions and the noise, the keeping up with the Jones crap that everybody does. You can actually see this incredible path in front of you that going to take a little bit longer, but man, you can do it. Just stick with it.
Stick to itiveness. I think that's excellent advice. Absolutely. And there's no industry where that won't work out well. Everything, whether it's learning to play an instrument, whether learning to write, you know, program computers. I think that is something that we in America have kind of been a victim of our own success, because we have so much prosperity and so much things coming easy that I think a lot of these other countries. So, you know, working in Silicon Valley, I see a lot of folks from India and China and other countries, and hearing their backgrounds and talking to them, understand that these folks literally put in 18 hours a day, you know, at some point to get to where they actually are. They look like geniuses now in many of these fields, but what they had was the discipline in their cultures. I think Malcolm Gladwell writes about this in the book Outliers, which is an excellent book talking about high performance people, what kind of separated these folks. And he talks about the concept of 10,000 hours. So he talked about the Beatles. To achieve mastery at something that you put in your 10,000 hours, and the Beatles started out playing it, you know, little lousy bands, but they got in more reps. And I know I do stand-up comedy. That's one of those things as well. Just getting on stage. Don't go read another comedy book. Don't just watch comedy. Get on stage. It's reps. Put in the reps. Stick with it. And just there's power in consistency. It's not rocket science. It's simple. May not be easy, but it's simple.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting about the Beatles. I learned this recently, that they were actually rejected by two or three major labels. Not only were they rejected initially, but the label said, first of all, they said guitar rock is on its way out. There's no way this is going to be a popular genre, right? And they also said, This group has no business in entertainment, in show business. They have no business even getting into this business. So imagine if the Beatles at that point heard that rejection and just said, All right, guys, pack it up. Let's just, you know, we're going to go get our jobs, whatever. You know, that's it. That was fun. Thank God they didn't do that. Thank God they didn't listen to people that were giving them this harsh, very unwise. Because imagine, you know, those people obviously kicked themselves really hard after they blew up. So I love that story, because it's like, you know, the most famous, most successful rock band in history was told that they're worthless, right? They even went through that rejection. So just know, guys, that when you go through rejection, welcome to being a human being. I've been rejected. Jonathan's been rejected. Good Lord, how many times we've both been rejected?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're not special when you get rejected, right? You don't, because I think that's one thing people go, well, oh, I feel really defeated. I feel this defeated. So this must not be a good fit for me. You're wrong, because everybody, that's like step one, right? Getting into the industry, basically you're just going to get beat up a little bit in the beginning, because you're a beginner. You're a newbie. You got to figure out, you got to, you know, make your mistakes. So as you get beat up a little bit, rejected a little bit, just know that that's actually a sign of progress, not a sign of failure. So just know that you are on the right track. If you're getting signs of rejection, believe it or not, as long as you learn from your mistakes, that's it.
There you go.
You make the same mistake 50 times. Okay, we got a big problem there. But take the rejection, take the note, and decide, okay, can I adjust this? Is there something that I can improve with my service, my product, my dream, my vision? Let's make that, let's implement it, and let's not make that mistake again. If it was something literally that was your mistake. But also it could be the fact that you're pitching to the wrong client. Maybe just that particular client or that particular customer, just not your client. So you need to realize, you know, maybe we need to be refocusing where we're marketing and who we're targeting, because maybe we're talking to the wrong people right now and we're not solving their goal or their problems, right? So again, going back to that service mindset, you just might have to re-aim your strategy in a different direction.
Absolutely, man. That's excellent advice. Man, Jesse, this is very insightful. You guys are lucky to be listening to this. This is a music mogul. Already made it, but it's still in the making. He's compounding. Can you imagine? Think about this, the habits that he has and already the success that he has, where he will be in 10 years.
We'll see, man.
Think about this, right? So this is the power of having good habits, adopting the right mindset, putting in the work, But I mean, you've already got the momentum. The snowball is going. Like, man, you're a true American dream success story. So,
well, thank you so much, man.
More power to you, bro.
Thank you, man. It's fun. You know, I wouldn't do this if it wasn't fun. Music is just my love. It's my passion. You know, I remember you knew me before I even had really any studio. I had that old crappy PC $200 Dell. And I think you and I even made some beats together, some stupid comedy stuff. We were using Fruit Loops, the free stuff, right? So you saw where I was.
Yes, and I saw you. We were renting a room or apartment. We were paying $650 a month. Right. And that was for the three-bedroom.
Mine was the den. I had the smallest room. It just was enough for my bed. And then I remember I put my computer in my closet because that was the only space to put my computer.
Yeah. This is how cheap we were. We let the Birdman get the big room with the bathroom for extra $50. Yeah.
Hey, man, college students, though, $50, it's a lot. That's actually a lot. So, yeah.
But yeah, this is the point of starting small, believing in yourself, just taking action, and just go ahead and do it. And there's never been more time, a better time in terms of all the free resources that are available to you, the tools, the software, all the, the internet, all this is amazing opportunity. There's no excuse not to go try and make something happen.
That's it, man. Thank you so much, Jonathan. I appreciate you having me, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the I Wish I Knew podcast with Jonathan A. Graham. For more free resources and this episode's show notes, head over to jonathanagraham.com.